Just a short note for as a correction for this episode. Can you please note that the time for the HPR Saturday session has changed to 12 midday Eastern Standard Time or 6 in the evening Central European Time. Also, the recording will pick up again on the 12th of January. So the next session will be on the 12th of January at 12 midday Eastern Standard Time or 1800 Central European Time. That's 1700 UTC. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. What you're going to hear is a recording from the Hacker Public Radio Sunday sessions, Saturday sessions, my bad. Let's keep that in. And the purpose of these sessions is in order to record content for HPR. So if you want to record about something and or there's something you know a lot about and you want to share this information but you don't really know how to say it or you need somebody to ask questions about it, and
basically if you can't get your cat or your dog to listen to you and you need a real human, come along and find some of us here who would prompt you and ask some questions and what else.
9 a.m right on Mumble on the Linux
9 a.m EST on the Linux Basics Mumble server, 9 a.m. EST or 3 p.m. or 1500 hours, Europe Amsterdam. Okay, I see we're ready for recording. Is everybody familiar with how configure scripts work themselves?
If I know you type in .configure, possibly some options.
Yes, what the .configure scripts does is it takes configures the system and make sure it knows all the variables in order to compile the program. For C-based programs, for example, it figures out where the libraries are which you are linking and where the header files are which you include, and it makes sure that it can find those and it can link correctly and produces an executable instead of an error. The configure scripts are also capable of, not configure scripts themselves, but what configure script actually does is it creates a makefile. It does that in combination with makefile.am, using automake creates a makefile, and with that you can run make, which does the actual compilation, and make install to install it to the default installation path, and you can also give options to the configure script to include support for certain packages or not include support and change the destination, default destination, or where the man pages are installed. If we take a look at configure --help, if you run that, it's you pretty much standard list of options. It's the help option, version, quiet, all kinds of normal things. You can specify the bin there, which is where the binary files are installed, so the executables. You can pretty much read what stands there.
Hey, yes? Nito, could I interrupt? So when you're typing in .configure, you're obviously calling the configure script, which exists in that source code distribution. How does that script there? Like, how did you, as the author of this thing that we're looking at right now, how did you get configure into your source code thing? Like, how do you utilize it as a programmer?
Yes, the configure script is actually the output of a program named autoconf, and autoconf configures or creates the .configure script out of all kinds of pre-installed things within the AutoTools suite themselves, and a script which is also present in pretty much any source download you make which has a configure script, which is either called configure.ac or in older versions is called configure.in. If you look at the configure script included and few rules which says which he has to do. And from these macros, these are macros created in M4, and there's an entire library of M4 macros available on the internet and usually downloadable in a package within your distribution. Macros actually do the configuration.
Gotcha.
So shall we just walk through the whole script for a moment? Do the individual options? Well, the first one, it says ACP request, which is the version of autoconf, which is minimally needed in order to configure this script correctly. There are multiple versions of autoconf still around. Some scripts use, well, the problem mostly is that you can create a .figure which works, and well, some incompatibilities happen when you upgrade when the new version of autoconf is created, and you can still hang around on that old version. I think I just have to cut this out, does that makes no sense. Anyway, you can configure the minimal version of autoconf which is required, but for the most you can ignore that and look at it when the problems arise. The next line is way more interesting, which is the AC initialization part, which you give a command, which is the name of the pure program. In this case, it's called Derpy. A4 macros are constructed in the following sense. As you can see, I'm just realizing this is actually meant for radio. So for the people who are actually listening,
You could probably post the link as part of the show notes to Nito. That way they could literally, if they wanted to go home and look at it.
Yes, and then you're just going to have to accept that it has some kind of formatting. I think that is a better idea.
Yeah.
Yes, so the AC init initializes the script. You give the name of the program, the version, and the address at which can be contacted as the maintainer of this script, and nothing special about that. The next one, AC config source there, it tells the AC configuration, the autoconf, where it can find the source code for your program. For very small programs, you usually just dump it in the same directory as the auto configuration, but with bigger programs, it can be beneficial to have a separate source directory in which you only have the source files and work from that. For this example script, we have only one source directory find, and as you can see, it doesn't really link the directory itself, but it links a file in the directory. That way it can also check whether the file is available right now and checked if not, because, well, if there's no source compiled, then there's something wrong. Commented outline, the AC config headers, it creates a configuration or creates a header file, which creates all the definitions of things which are defined by this script. So I mentioned earlier with the AC init call, you define the name of the program, the version, and the email address of the maintainer. These variables are then defined in a file named config.h and include in your source, and then automatically include the correct version number within the source code without actually hard coding it somewhere in the source.
Yes, I do.
I don't mean to be funny, but I'm just having trouble following along. Should I be looking at the configure.ac file in the root directory? It's just I couldn't I could see the AC underscore init, but I couldn't find the separate definition you were just talking about, where it specifies any paths to files. Am I looking in the wrong place? Or
The AC init is on the fifth line. The next one is the AC config SRC there. Do you see that one?
My AC init is on the third line, and maybe I've got to reopen it or something.
Are you on the right?
Are you looking at the W3M or are you looking at Derpy at the moment?
W3M. So I want to go into a subdirectory. Yes. Do I? That's what I thought. Okay.
Now we switched.
I jumped out the room for a moment in time.
I'm sorry, I should have... do you see the link in the channel?
Okay, I'm just changing over now. I'll be with you in a minute. I'll catch up.
Okay.
This will make a lot more sense to you once you're on the right configure.ac file, I promise.
Okay, I'm there now. Carry on. Yes, that already looks better. I was starting to think that was crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, I could understand, yeah. But for example, if you have an option in your program which gives you the version of the program, you can just define the version of the program here and uncomment the AC config headers command, and then it creates a config.h file for you, which you can then include and automatically have it display the right version. Out the configure script rate distribution file, then it already has the right version number in it, and you don't have to configure it anywhere else, just define it here and use it wherever you need it. The next line in here is the AC config files, which are configuration files which creates, which is a make file, which you use to actually make the software. And the next file is called adlocal. This one is not used a lot. It's a program or a file used to run autotest. It's something I recently included, and I'm not perfectly familiar with it yet, but you can also create them, and maybe we're going to look at that later. Related to the atlocal file, the next line is the acconfig test there, and that defines a directory in which the test cases are defined, and so you can check whether your install package is actually correct according to included test cases. There are macros to do unit testing, and you can run a separate shell script which do tests. Or you can basically define a whole test suite in there. If we move down to the next line, and if there's any questions, just interrupt me, because I'd like to know. If we move down to the next line, there's the acconfig aux there. The configure script or autoconf and automake and the related tools, they create a lot of different files in order to be able to actually configure this software on a lot of different systems, also missing normal programs like install or ldconfig. And they include all kinds of software package to actually do the configuration. Usually these are dumped in the root directory, but with the acconfig aux there, you can actually define a separate directory where these files should be dumped. The next one, am init automake, tells this configure script to also be prepared for automake. And in here, it also defines the name of the program and the version. As in the script above, which kind of negates to just define it once and then you're done. But I'm probably doing something wrong, and you should be able to do it in a better way. The commented line which does nothing, and then we go to the next line. There's acconfig macro there. As I told you before, the macros you see here are all M4 make macros, and these macros are expanded and expanded and expanded and expanded until eventually you end up with what is the .configure script, and all these macros which are needed in order to expand to this configure script are included within the distribution of your software, so that when somebody else who doesn't happen to have a copy of this particular M4 macro handy has a copy of the macro used to create this package in the package itself.
Is that a standard convention to always include them in case people don't have them themselves?
Yes, that's the main idea of the .scripts. You include everything you need in order to do the configuration.
But they still need to have autoconf on their system, right? Or are they getting it when they download your source?
They do need, yes and no. In order to build my software, as I distribute it, you don't need to have autoconf installed at all. You can just do .configure, make install, and you don't need to worry about it at all. However, if you you want to change the software and you, for example, you want to include support or some other library, then you need to change the configuration. Then you do need autoconf. I may have a few different macros which do the configuration as you do. So I include all the macros which I used in order to configure this, which are in a sense also source code, where exactly as I built it. And so you don't have to worry too much about differences in versions between the AutoTools macros that you have installed or the AutoTool macros which I have installed. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does perfectly.
Okay. Well, if we continue in the script, the next one is there's a command checked for programs. By the way, if you want to make a configure script yourself or configure.ac for your own software, there's another program called AutoScan, which is also part of the AutoTools. So you probably have it installed if you have AutoConf installed. It tries to create an AutoConf script, which tries to create an AutoMake script with an AutoConf script, which actually works for your just a few libraries, and it gives you the main build-up, and it also gives the commands in this script, like the check for programs and the AC proc CC. The line AC proc CC basically tells the tells AutoConf that there needs to be a C compiler present on this system, and it includes all the checks whether there's a C compiler, whether it can actually compile usable code, and most of these things aren't a problem on a standard Linux system, especially if it's a system for a developer. But it may be more problematic if, for example, you try to run it on your own home-built Linux from scratch install or on an exotic hardware with an exotic operating system which may not have. And it's also the thing which makes your next crash without any explanation, never mind. The next one is the check for libraries. You need a C compiler in order to compile C code, but most of the time you're also using different libraries. For example, you want to include a Qt library so you can create nice little windows, or in this case, I'm including a library for SRS. And I'm including a library for Milter. SRS stands for Sender Rewriting Scheme, which is a technique in order to do to rewrite the destination for an email host. SRS Sender Rewriting Scheme. It's used in SPF in order to rewrite where the email is sent from. So when a receiving host does an SPF check and I'm forwarding an email from, say, google.com, it's not saying that it's sent from google.com because I'm not allowed to send from there, but it's encoding that it comes from some google.com domain through a scheme which sends it from my own domain name. For the subject right now, there are multiple ways to look for libraries, and from what I have found, the recommended way is to use AC search libs, which is a macro which looks for a function, which is the first argument in this case. So SRS new in a library, which is the name for the second argument. So we'll look for a library named SRS 2. This actually does is it creates a little program which loads tries to execute a function named SRS new, tries to link that to the SRS library, and if that completes, well, then the check is completed and it works and can actually use the function SRS new with that library and everything's happy. The next argument in this command true is what needs to be done in order when the command succeeds, when the check I just described, when it succeeds. True, well, it's basically nothing. Run true, yay, it runs, success, done. The next argument is what needs to happen if the check fails. You can do multiple things when a check fails. In this case, the SRS library is pretty important for my piece of software. So if you don't have an SRS library installed, I cannot compile my program. So I'm doing a failure. You can with a macro called AC message MSG failure, and I give a SRS2 library exiting. Here you can define a message. So when you run /configure and you don't have that library installed, this is the message which you're going to get.
Closing
the AC message failure.
So, sorry, it's searching the SRS2 to find, that library to find a function or something, an object called SRS_new. Is that right? And if it fails...
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And if it fails, it gives you the message, cannot find SRS2 library exiting. The last argument you can give this particular script, which in this case is empty, are extra libraries which needs to be included in order to compile with this library. For example, if you want to run a function which does some function in Qt, chances are you're probably going to need the X11 library as well. So you can define in the final argument of this function to include the library X11. And you can have done a check for that somewhere here before. The AC search lib, which is for Milter, it works basically the same. So I guess we'll better spit. So what these checks for these libraries do is they create some macros which can later be used in the linking step. So when you link the C program, it knows, well, we also need the SRS2 library, and we also need the Milter library, and they're over here, and everything goes fine. Going down to the next line, for the check for header files, AC check headers basically checks whether the compiler can find certain header files. Well, there may be a problem. One moment. The first check in this line is for airnode.h, signal.h, standardbool.h, standardio.h, and all kinds of other standard.h files. I've included this in this check to see whether they are present. This should never fail. And if you don't have one of these files present, then there's a big problem which I can't help you with. So that's the error that I'm going to give you. It's checking for a header called srs2.h. Well, the first argument to AC check header is what you need to do when it succeeds. The second argument is, the first argument is which is the header file which you're actually looking for. The second is what needs to happen in case this check is correct. And the third argument is what needs to happen in case this check fails. And here again, you can use the AC MSG failure, which gives you an error message. In this case, cannot find the SRS2.h header files needed for blah, blah, blah. File, and there's a check for a library file somewhere earlier. You can actually install the library without installing the header file. The libraries are usually in the normal packages. So in this case, libsrs2 includes enough files in order to satisfy the library check. However, if you want to compile a program for this, you also need the header files. These are usually included in the development packages. So the minus dev or minus devel packages in your package manager. I don't know how to do that, but that's why there is a separate check for the header and for the library itself. Well, there's another check here, AC header bool, which checks if there's if standard bool, if that is included. I think I also included sdbool.h in the AC headers check, so that may be superfluous. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
The reason why there is a separate check for sdbool has to do with the fact that sdbool can be only supported within the compiler itself. Again, we're talking older platforms and exotic platforms mostly in this case. But this checks if the compiler actually understands what to do with the standard bool and if that is correct. AC type size T finds out whether the variable size t is known by the C compiler. Also, again, not really something to worry about in standard Linux or any POSIX compatible system, but it's included. I got it from the ACSN, and I didn't think it would be a good idea to remove it, just in case. It also checks whether the function realloc is available with AC func realloc.
Can I ask you how much of this?
Yes?
How much of the file here was actually created with the scan that you mentioned? Did you actually have to make many changes yourself to make sure it works? Or
and how do you do that scan?
Well, I had to. Let's do one now. Let's just finish this up, and then I'll answer your question. The leftover ones, LT init, checks for libtool, which is used for the linking part, and AC output tells it to actually produce a /configure script, if I'm remembering correctly. Now, regarding your question of how to create a file, it's pretty simple, just on autoscan. Autoscan, then it's going to give you a few warnings, in this case because it already finds the file I have, but then it creates for me a configure.scan file. That easy.
Wow, nice.
This is probably going to be a bit of cheating, so I'm going to remove the configure.ac to make sure it file for me. It already fills in, for anyone who run it, it fills in the pre-request, the version of autoconf which you need, which it puts on the version which you are running right now. It creates the AC init function. You just need to fill in some information. It config source there, the config headers, it creates that one, because you usually want to have the config.h. I didn't want to have it in this time. Does a check for programs, but it apparently it finds that I also need a C++ compiler by including the macro acprogcx. That was a mistake. It also says I need a C preprocessor, which is the AC_prog_CPP. It is actually correct in that regard, so I should probably include that macro in my configure script myself. It says I need an install, which is a program which pretty much does the same thing as CP or copy. LNS, you need to be able to make symbolic links. Not particularly sure what makeset does, so I'm sorry. And runlib is again a program needed for the library checks I had to install myself. The autoscan is not really good at finding libraries in that regard. Finds some of the header files which I included. It asks for the standard bool, the size t. It finds some of the functions used, the malloc, realloc, standard error stone string made. So if you're running a Hello World program, you can pretty much auto-configure it just by running autoscan and then renaming that and filling in the AC init script.
So the autoscan, it creates a file called configure.scan.
Yes, that is correct. And the configure.scan is flooded exactly as AC script does. So you can just rename it and run autoconf and have it build the script.
It's kind of really interesting because it's demystifying a lot of this. When I've done these builds, I've kind of imagined that it's more complicated than it is. I'm sure there's some tweaking you have to do. Yeah, you go ahead. No, Glatto, it's kind of, we've blown away the magic from the whole thing, I'm sorry to say. I made it sound simpler.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, but I'm thinking the same thing.
But magic is still magic once you understand how it works.
Oh, I meant that in a good way. You know, there's magic of simplifying
indeed.
It. I really appreciate it.
Indeed. Shall we run through the makefile? The makefile.am and what that actually does?
Yeah, I don't know if I need it line by line, but give me an overview.
What the makefile.am file, that's an input file for AutoMake. And AutoMake is the program which actually creates the make file. This is the file in which you find all the extra flags you want to add to your compiler and where source files are and how the programs really need to be created, and also what has to be included in the distribution packages, and we'll come to that later. One here who's not really known with how to compile source code, C code.
I don't understand the question. Like, familiar with compiling C code?
Yes.
Not really. I mean, you mean just GCC in dot C redirect out dot A or something like that? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
That's the extent of my knowledge of how to compile C code.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the makefiles and compiler and stuff.
Yeah, makefile, you know what... I use.
Yes. Well, what a makefile.am essentially comes down to creating a makefile. And there's some other tricks. There's some tricks in the makefile which, you know what, let's just run through a few of these things and then I'll show you how it actually works.
Can I ask you an overview question to begin with? I mean, I have experience of writing just the makefile directly. This is a long time ago, you know. But what's the real advantage or real reason for making the makefile.am and then automatically making the makefile? What's a big advantage? Is it cross-platform when make environments are different, or can you explain that?
That was actually my exact question.
There are two reasons to go with the make.am file and creating a makefile out of that, as opposed to writing the makefile directly. The first one is indeed, there are many versions of make around. Most of us use GNU make, but for example, the OpenBSD distribution uses the BSD make, which in some regards are different. And Apple, what's its OS name, whatever, they also have a separate, a different kind of make program which processes make files just slightly differently. Using makefile.am and having that create a make file is that you're sure that the make file works on anything supported by the makefile.am. Part is that you can define the program which you want to make and which source files are related to that and the man pages, and then have it figure out how to actually compile it using outconf and figuring out where your for example your X11 library is, or your Qt library, or where the header files are.
Uh-huh.
Whether you need to install into the libc4 directory or in the lib directory. It's a flexibility you get from that at the costs of some complexity in the file itself, I would say.
I'm sorry for interrupting you as well. I'm just looking through it, and it doesn't look so confusing. You know, it looks quite straightforward, like a normal makefile, to be honest.
Yes, the most part, it is actually a file, or, well... We'll get to that. If we go to the beginning of the file, I define some AMC flags, which are warnings which I like to use when I'm compiled. So when my compiler thinks I'm not exactly holding myself to the standard, and it gives me an error which I have to fix before it actually allows me to compile. There's the Is anybody familiar with the C flags at all? Should I explain what C flags are?
After them, but I mean, if you could probably shed some light on them. But...
Seconded.
C flags are an argument you can give to your make in order to define which, in order to compile, to compile a C program. And for example, if you want to compile another program which you download on the internet and you want to download it or you want to compile it position independent code because you're building a secure system or whatever, then you can say /configure saveflags, capital C, capital F, capital A, G, capital G, is F minus fpic, and that gives the argument you give, in this case minus fpic, to the C compiler. At the moment it compiles program which is in C.
Is there a good place to understand all of those options, all of those combinations of compiler flags, to get an idea of what kind of things you can do?
Yes, you can. It's a GNU project, so the info file is very valuable in that regard. There's also the GNU manual, which explains the entire process. There's a lot of things which are actually happening when compiling a C file, going down in the details, which usually you don't see because there's some programmer who has worked on this code and created some file and you just press your and it all works. There's actually quite a few things happening in there, and the manual is really big, but if you want to know more about how code is compiled and especially how auto tools work, the AutoMake manual is a really good resource on that. Probably say that somewhere in the beginning of the show or repeat it at the end, we'll want to hear it. Before we continue through the file?
No, that's great, thank you. I'm just looking at the manual now.
Okay, so as I said, the idea is file is used by AutoMake in order to make a make file. And you can basically find the programs which it needs to compile, so the executable you want to have in the end, using a macro or a, this is not really a macro. How do you call this again?
Which one?
Bin programs is derpy.
Just a program, you mean? Or I don't quite follow. Sorry.
No, the
do you
the
mean
construct,
the target?
The variable. The word was variable. Find the variable bin programs. Which tells AutoMake these are the programs which you need to compile. These are the executables you want to have in the end, which is the name of the program, which in this case is derpy. For each of the programs you list here, so you can have multiple programs all live in the same source directory. For each of these programs, you can define various such as, for example, the sources. You need to define which are the source files which are needed for which basically list file. So there's this variable called derpy underscore sources, sources in capital letters, which defines the path to the main and all the other C files which are used in order to create this program. There's also a list of manuals. You can also create MON files and have them included. Simply include the macro name of the program underscore MONs, capital letters again. I really suggest you look through the file if you want to see it, and then you can say where the manual files are. I understand they are usually hand created. So I used a little hack within this makefile, within this makefile.am in order to include semi-automatically made manuals. Program I happened to have used DocsyGen in order to create the man files. Andri underscore months is a variable which tells these are manuals which belong in section 3. Section 3 is where the manuals belong for header files and C functions. And since I only have manuals for the auto-generated manuals, even for the C functions, these all go into the MON3 section. Then there's the variable tradist, which is a variable which say these files are part of the distribution, but they're not necessarily used for creating any source files, or at least not in a manner in which AutoMake is familiar with it in itself. Test suite variable defines where it can find a program which runs test, which you can use with makecheck. Auto M4TE, I must confess, I'm not really sure why I included this line. So, yes, this is all part of the auto tweet, and I probably got these from the auto test program. Running them, it usually gives you lines. You may want to include this line into your configuration. And the lines after this all are lines which are in order to do a few tricks which are not included in AutoMake. Do we want to go through that, or do we just want to skip that and keep it within the auto tools sections?
Probably just keep it within auto tools.
Yeah, then let's just forget all about that. And then we're just going to pretend that I handcrafted the manual files as you probably should. So now we have run through the two files which create the configure script and the make file, or the configure script and the configure script makes the make file. How does it, when is this all used? How do you actually create the .gear file? And I've deleted my outconf.ac, so I can't do that. One moment. If you run autoconf, will automatically create the .configure file. This includes information from the makefile.in. If you want to make sure you include all the different auto tools, so the autoconf, automake, libtool, autotest, there is a script which automatically runs all those programs in the appropriate order, which is called autoreconf. And you use auto tools in order to configure them, and you altered your makefile.am. You may want to run that in order to make sure all your files are in order again. You can run the .configure, check whether, we run through the files, it will check the libraries, it will check the headers, and I have everything all right, so it works right here. Once you run .configure, it will give you a file which is the make file, and you can just run make, and then it will compile the program and create a file named derpy, as you have find in the makefile.am. You can also say, for example, make dist, which creates a distribution file, which in this case creates a file named derpy-0.2, which is version.tar.gz, which actually contains everything you need in order to compile. There's another one you can run, which is make dist check, which creates dist file, which I explained earlier, and then tries to create program within that file, within that directory, I'm sorry, so you are sure everything is in order in your distribution file. It really compiles and everything is included. If you run it right now, you will find it fails in the test suite because I'm not really ready with creating tests with this program. A nice helpful file, message would say there's some file named testsuite.log and please send to the email address of the maintainer. And it does make install and so about configure scripts.
I guess just a sort of overall thing, like, so if I was going to try to use this on something, first up, it sounds like, would be auto scan and then go through and edit your little scripts and figure out what macros you want to use, and that's it.
Yes, that's the first step, and with that you can create a script which does all the checking we discussed.
Configure.in.
And so you can say the configure.in or configure.ac. They're essentially the same file. So people can run .configure and they say, hey, there's a problem. I don't have this in this library. Yes?
I didn't quite follow. At what point and how do you create the main configure script? You know, from the configure in or configure.ac, what do you run on the command line to get it to do that?
In order to do that, you need the configure.ac or the configure.in file, and you just run autoconf.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So one more question then: is there a point in having a .configure if you're? Or I guess I think I'm answering my own question as I say it. But anyway, I was going to say, is there a chance of having dot? Is there a reason for having .configure if you're going to just write your own make file anyway? Is the point of the configure to generate a make file then?
No, that's the point where AutoMake kind of gets its reputation out of tools. The configure script doesn't necessarily make a make file. You can also have a configure script and make your own make file, as you said, and then you can still take advantage of the fact that the configure script tells you, like, hey, you don't have this and this library installed.
Right, okay, I got it.
And you can also take advantage of other parts of the configure script, like, for example, the creation of a config.h file, so you can always use the same version number everywhere in your code, or the program name, or...
Understood.
Does the autoconf generate, like, a template for your makefile, or have you got to create that file completely yourself, you know?
The makefile is created essentially from the makefile.am, And the makefile.am, well, yes, you have to create yourself. But for an example, the hello world, all you need to define is like bin programs, underscore programs is hello world, which then is the name of the program, and then say hello world underscore sources is, and then the name of the source file, and then you're done. In the file, everything else is just extra.
I guess in the documentation, the like a simple template, like you just said, is described with explanation of all the other things you can add in there.
Yes, it has a configure, has some examples, and you can also look at where on the GNU.org site, the software, there's also the Hello World, which is the most elaborate Hello World file I've ever seen, and it also has a fairly auto sorry makefile.am, and it's also a nice one to look at. And also, when you download some source and you find a .slash file, why not take a look at these two other files and see what actually makes the program do what it does?
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's really demystified it a little bit for me. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, same here, Nita. That was
I'm
very
also
helpful.
Having a channel from Bert, which is do you need to run autoconf if .configure doesn't work for you, or the provided .configure? The answer to that, unfortunately or hopefully, is no. The file which is distributed with the one which is created by running the autoconf should be the same.
I think he means
run
there isn't.
Configure and it, what?
Sorry, I was going to say, I think he means if there isn't a configure, like if there isn't a configure script already generated in the source code, like if getting it from SVN or something like that.
In that case, yes. Provided then the configure.ac file and the makefile.am file and or are present, can just run auto reconf and then it will create the .configure file indeed. Does that answer your question? Yes? Okay. Are there any more questions?
Sounds like that might be a wrap.
Yes, I think so.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.